Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we've made it to Friday. Welcome to the weekend, a little bit early. And how are you doing today as we get ready for some spring football games? Three in all tomorrow, and we will talk to the head coach of one of them. We had the head coach of another one on yesterday. Let's get going here on a Friday afternoon. Auburn, Brian Harsin, yes. Can they win with a run-first offense? Why not? They didn't win last year with less. So we'll talk about it with what Brian Harsin has up his sleeve. Meanwhile, five players, maybe 11 players that Big Blue Nation needs to be keeping track of. Got a couple of transfers in there. A lot of good players. Coach Stoops had a fantastic season last year. And can they top it this year? They're going to have to work hard to do better. Speaking of doing better, Jimbo. Jimbo asked a lot of tough questions yesterday in an interview about being the villain of college football, about the NCAA transfer portal. Here's what he said.
No doubt. I mean, I think there is a lot of tampering that goes on within the portal. Because it's funny, when a guy gets in the portal, he already knows where he's going. And there's a lot of schools been using that portal, I mean, extensively. So, I mean, they're getting guys like that. So, I think that's a big factor that goes on right now. And what's happening, where it's happening, and where you're going. And I think managing your roster. I mean, you got people coming in, and you don't know when guys are leaving. What guy, you know, we've actually only had, we have one guy this year and one guy last year. We've only had two portal guys in 2 years. You're constantly managing, not only in recruiting and the next group of guys you have, but you're managing your own roster and making sure that all those things are taken care of. And then, like I say, on a daily basis, there's always a crisis, it seems like, and good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is. But that's the rules we live by, so we have to abide by them.
You know, people talk about the portal. It's just not a very – it's like, you know, hey, did you see the porta-potty in front of my house? I think that's a new phrase for – I think when you go to the portal, I think there's more to that than what we thought. Now, anyway, we are off and running here on a Friday afternoon. What about would you imagine going to a college football game and placing a bet? Well, it's possible nowadays. Is it going to happen? We are going to find out. Now, that is the new world we are currently living in. John U. Bacon will talk to us about that in a few minutes. David Ubben joining us an hour from now, and the aforementioned Mark Stoops at 5 p.m. But your call is at 855-242-7285. I know a lot of you are golf fans, and you may just have flipped over here after watching Tiger Woods' first five holes at Augusta today. He is struggling. Unlike yesterday when everything went right, today everything is going wrong. He is four over on his round, and now instead of fighting for the top of the leaderboard, maybe fighting to make the cut. The phone number is 855-242-7285. Let's begin with Dave in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Paul. Hey, the other day you had on a guy that was very entertaining, and he was an old caller, and his name was Chris.
Chris from Gulf Shores, yes.
Oh, man, I really enjoyed that guy. He's now become one of my favorite callers. If he'll call in again, I hope he does. I hadn't heard him
before.
You
know, Dave, there was a time Chris was a regular caller. I would put Chris in the top top five, top 10 list of all time callers. I mean, he is that entertaining. And the thing about Chris, he just brings a smile to your face. He has, you know, some callers make you just want to, go through water torture. What would you rather do? Would you rather listen to this caller or have someone literally pull your fingernails out with a plier?
Yeah, no, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, Chris,
for sure.
Chris is the antithesis of that.
Yes, he is. And I just wanted to tell you, I really loved him on that show, and I hope I get to hear him again. And also, you talked the other day about when the World Series used to be on in the afternoons.
Yes.
And I remember that like it was yesterday, during recess. I must have been the fifth grade or something, having a transistor with me and the guys out under an oak tree and listening to the World Series.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are laughing probably and going, oh, these are a bunch of codgers. But, yeah, I used to do the same thing. We would take a transistor radio, a small little thing, and they would let us listen to it during recess or during breaks. And can you imagine today?
No, I can't. They wouldn't even be listening to the World Series.
No.
On in the
well, because the World Series would be on at night.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. I mean, if it was on in the afternoon. But, yeah, it was a whole different time back then. And I loved those little transistor radios.
They were
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Hey, listen, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Jack is up next in Texas. So, hello, Jack.
Hey, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Arkansas fan. Been watching your show, retired about a year ago. Arkansas fan, as I said. I want to talk about Texas A&M. Everybody has good fans. Everybody has bad fans. I know you're kind of in love with Jimbo Fisher. He's a good coach. No question about that. Very successful at Florida State. But he needs to act like he's been there before. Some of the comments he made, some of the comments he has made, we're not going away. Same problem with Buzz Williams. Act like you've been there. Texas A&M flopped during the bowl season. And there was some chatter about that back then. I almost called at that time, but I chose to bite my tongue. They flopped. He did not want to get beat by Wake Forest. And that's sad. With the resources that university has, with their chancellor, their president, athletic director, and their head coaches, everybody's lived with COVID for a long time. The 12th man thing is a joke. They couldn't even find 11 guys that wanted to play the bowl game. And it's funny to me that they took the money from their SEC share, from all the other teams that played. The team that Arkansas played lost half their defense, Penn State. We lost players on both sides of the ball, but we wanted to play for the love of the game because it really means more. And A&M ought to be ashamed. Texas, the 12th man means nothing. That's comical. I hope they never sell another 12th man T-shirt because it means nothing. And Mr. Fisher, he doesn't care what I think, what my thoughts are, but they are an embarrassment right now to the SEC. They don't want to play Texas. They're not going to play Oklahoma. Arkansas has had one of the toughest schedules in the last couple of years. We played them. We gave it our best shot. We played Georgia. We played Florida. We played Texas. We played everybody.
Well Jack, listen, I appreciate you calling. I'm going to give some other people a chance to respond to you because you made some very strong allegations. 12th man is a joke. What about that, Matt?
It's not a joke. The only thing that's a joke is Arkansas. The whole notion that they're going to win a national championship. Please, give me a break, Paul. Their schedule is hard as schedule as we do. They're never going to win a national title.
Matt, I know you're a sycophant for A&M, but you would agree A&M dodged that bowl game, would you not?
Yes, they did dodge that bowl game, and I'll agree 100% on that, Paul.
I thought his point about A&M dodging the game was legitimate. When Texas
point,
A&M is afraid to play
point,
Wake
Paul.
Forest, come on, Matt.
I get a legitimate point. But to say that we're a joke when Arkansas fans are delusional, thinking they're going to win a national championship. They're never going to win one, Paul.
I don't know. Arkansas right now has a better baseball program, better basketball program, and last year had a better football program than you did.
Yes, they had a good season last year. But let me ask them realistically, Paul.
You don't sound as confident as you did a minute ago. What's wrong, man?
Nothing wrong. Well, let me ask you a last question. If Arkansas fans think they're so good of a program, football program, they're not going to repeat it every single year. They're going to get their butts booked every single year in the SEC. They might as well go back
to
the
Hey, Matt, quick question. Who won the game last year between Arkansas and A&M?
Yeah, Arkansas won it last year.
Yeah, I thought so.
Paul.
We'll take a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back. So much to talk to our friend John Bacon about. But as we say hello to John, before we get to the topic that we wanted to talk to you about, and that's the possibility of betting within arenas, you just heard Jimbo Fisher. We had him on yesterday. His program is catching a lot of flack around the country for the best recruiting class they've ever had, maybe anyone has ever had. Many of the critics, including Lane Kiffin, blaming NIL, suggesting nefarious things. I realize there are other things to be concerned about in Michigan, but is that story about Jimbo and A&M getting any traction? And if so, what are people saying and what do you think?
I'd say it's getting general traction. I would say whenever you have a top recruiting class these days, you're going to be accused of that. That's one thing. Second of all, as far as Lane Kiffin goes, the NIL, how many rules are left to break? It's pretty hard to break a rule that doesn't exist. That's one thing. I'd say the third thing is that one of the beauties, Paul, of college football, we know compared to the NFL, is if your team does not win, you can always say, you guys cheat and we don't. And that's one of the great beauties of college football. So that is always the case. Of course, the Big Ten has won, one national title, two, I guess, this century. So the Big Ten always thinks that everyone else is cheating. So that's a given.
And most people think the guys in Columbus are cheating, don't they?
If they win.
They have won a lot.
Exactly. If you lose, no one cares. So.
Bigger picture, and I'm really curious about Michigan, because we've had the conversation about the self-importance that Michigan has of itself. So it brings me to the NIL question. To compete on the front line of college football nowadays, boosters have to dig deep, and that money is coming from somewhere. Are Michigan fans and alums going to participate in this when they seemingly care more about the greater good of the university?
That's the idea, of course. It's setting up a real conflict, and that's sincere, that the boosters are ready to write the checks right now. The money cannon is ready to explode, and the money is there. The question is, I think Michigan itself finds the whole idea so distasteful. Will they be able to jump in or not, and how fast and how much? Right now, it seems like Michigan is behind the other schools as far as this goes. And again, this is legal now. This is NIL. This is not cheating we're talking about. So you hear about very few deals out of Michigan. I'm hearing more and more are quietly being struck. But whether or not Michigan can keep up in this Wild West, I don't know. And at the decision that Michigan's got to make, they've not made it yet.
And just your thoughts as somebody who has been involved in college athletics for a long time, just about where we are right now, John, and where we're going. And you mentioned Michigan, but I mean, Michigan's on the front end of schools who are not certain about where they're going. I mean, there's got to be a cutting off point. Everyone can't compete in this new world, can they?
I would not think so. I mean, you already have, as you well know, a fair amount of haves and have-nots. What's going to happen now to NIL, to Purdue, to Illinois in the Big Ten alone, let alone the SEC schools and, you know, other schools out there? My strong hunch is the haves will become havier, and the have-nots will become have-notsier. If that's a new phrase I just made up.
I like that. Let's get to another topic, and that's one that we wanted to talk to you about. The idea of sports betting and how far this has spread to a point where some are suggesting it could even be going on inside college football stadiums in the future. What are your thoughts, and what do you know?
Well, I might as well get on my front porch and scare everybody off my lawn here, Paul, because I'll sound like an old man saying all this coming up. But I think it's a problem. And I realize that, you know, sports can only be funded just by the car companies, and Sports Illustrated's heyday. The car ads alone paid all their bills, and that's no longer the case, obviously. So income's got to come from somewhere. I don't want to see my ticket prices go up. So obviously online betting has been a huge source of revenue for athletics generally. But I have to go back to old Don Canna, Michigan's legendary athletic director, who told me years ago, before he passed away in 05, that it's not going to be academics or money that bring down college athletics. It's going to be gambling. And it's hard to imagine, if you have this kind of access to this much gambling all at once, if it's not going to bleed into a roster sooner or later. A disgruntled player who didn't get all his NIL money, perhaps a referee. Those guys aren't paid very much, of course. Most of them are part-time. So that's one danger, I think. I think also there's a fundamental difference between the NFL fan and the college football fan. And I'm squarely on the college side of this, undeniably. But in the NFL, what do you have? They're one-third bettors, I would say, one-third fantasy football, and one-third actual fans of a particular team. They care more about the team than their wide receiver. In college football, there's very little betting and almost no real fantasy football. They're hardcore fans. I think the most passionate in sports generally. Maybe European soccer might meet it. That's about all. If you introduce this, it's going to change the dynamic quite a bit, I think.
And what is being discussed in terms of legitimately putting availability within stadiums? How would that work?
Great question. I think it's more talk right now than reality. No school I know of has talked about setting up a parlor yet. But if you go to Vegas, of course, what do you see? You see a big room with a lot of TVs and a lot of guys sitting down and drinking beer and betting on all kinds of games, and the number tally is going there on the side. I'm sure the betting companies would love to have a suite somewhere in a big stadium where they could do this. And of course, you can always get them on your phone as well. So in that sense, the horse has already left the barn in any case. You can already do it online sitting in your seat if the internet works. So it's already happening. How far it's going to go remains an open question.
Before you go, we talked to you right after Harbaugh decided, or they decided for him, to stay at Michigan. We passed recruiting now. The spring game has passed, made primarily a big deal because of Colin Kaepernick being there. So what do the Wolverines look like for 22?
They look pretty good. A lot more on offense than defense this coming year for Michigan, I would say. I also would like to say that my prediction with you a few months ago that memories are short. Most folks have forgotten the dalliance that Harbaugh had with the Vikings, which he did say if he was offered, he was going to take it. Memories are short until they lose to Michigan State, and then they get very long.
Always a great conversation with John Bacon. John, many, many thanks. Always good to see you, and we will continue the conversations throughout the spring and summer. And we will continue talking to you at 855-242-7285. A Friday afternoon show is here, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Mark is up next in College Station. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. We actually met when you were down here in College Station once or twice, but a couple of thoughts regarding the comments from the guy from Arkansas. One, and I'm going to set aside his comments about the 12th man being a joke since we put more students in the stands than Arkansas has students. but your comment about A&M's basketball program being lesser than Arkansas's, I need to remind you, do you remember how A&M did against Arkansas this year in basketball?
I'm sure they won 2 out of 3, but good for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember what the margin was in the last A&M win, which was the last next to last game of the SEC season?
I must confess, Mark, I do not, even though I follow SEC basketball, I don't keep a scrapbook of all the Arkansas-Texas A&M games.
And that's fair, but if you're going to make a comment that I don't really care what happened
during the regular season. I do know that Arkansas went to the regional finals 2 years in a row. A&M has
right.
not been
no,
to the NCAA tournament during that period.
Paul, that's fair, but you need to recognize in the SEC tournament we beat them in the semifinals by 18.
Congratulations.
So setting that aside, was A&M the only football program that did not play in a bowl game because of COVID?
They were the most noteworthy, but I'm sure a couple. I don't really remember. I just remember they weaseled out of a game against Wake Forest.
I see. So did the other teams that didn't play because of COVID weasel out of their bowl games too?
Well, I don't remember it being COVID because A&M canceled the game 10 days out. I don't think that would come under CDC regulations.
It was because of COVID. We only had 46 players we could suit up for practice, let alone games. So this assertion that A&M bailed because they weaseled out of a game because they didn't want to play Wake Forest is false. We didn't have the players. We weren't the only team impacted by COVID either. So,
Mark, I'm going to tell you this. You may be technically correct about everything you said. The perception inside the bubble where I live is this. A&M weaseled out of the game because they did not want to lose to Wake Forest. So I'm just giving you the impression.
Well,
I'm giving you the message from inside the bottle.
Well, the inside the bubble is based without fact. So I appreciate that. And then they, you know, act like you've been there before. This isn't the first time Jimbo's had a top number one class in the country. Yet A&M and Jimbo aren't being treated like they've been there before. So I don't understand why the problem with Jimbo being defensive.
So
when he's being attacked,
is
for it, having
you
a
said
one
you
class
said you
country.
Said Jimbo has not had has had a number one class before, or A&M has had a number one class? I'm not sure I understood
I
you.
I said the assertion is A&M and Jimbo specifically, because that was the topic of conversation, that needs to act like they've been there before. Jimbo has been there before, but he's not being treated like he's been there before, and he's taken offense to it. And I don't know that I blame him.
I don't know if I blame him either. Hey, great to see you. Hopefully I'll see you again when we're in College Station. We can continue this conversation. Let us check in with Robert, who is in Ohio. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Paul. This thought occurred to me even before the interview you just did with John Bacon, but it'll come off at this point as a follow-up. I guess I wanted to ask you things like how Vanderbilt, or at least as far as the SEC is concerned, is dealing with things like NIL and the transfer portal, because I happen to go to Northwestern, and the concern I have is like schools like that, and maybe some of the schools in some of the smaller FBS conferences, if this keeps up unchecked, could it even get to the point of some school society?
Well, Robert, let's cut to the mustard here, okay? Okay. Vanderbilt can't compete right now in the SEC, legitimately compete. I don't know how how much more adversely they can be affected. Do you?
Well,
I mean this program has not been competitive in about 3 years. And when I mean competitive, I mean competitive in the traditional sense of looking like they have a chance to make it close. And NIL is only going to separate that.
Right. So my question to you is going to be, could you foresee it getting to the point where schools could decide to heck with this and drop out of the FBS entirely down into some of the lower divisions?
Well, I think that's a question down the road. I mean, to me, Vanderbilt prides itself too much on that SEC connection, but in spite of the rhetoric, that is a hurting program right now in football.
Right, and I could just foresee that even like the school like Northwestern or equivalent schools in other conferences.
Yeah, there is, Robert, there is going to be a reckoning. We're not there yet because we've only had it for 1 year, but what Bacon said is very interesting. Right now you have the elite, and every once in a while you get an outlier. I mean, Northwestern has been competitive. Northwestern played in the Big Ten championship game, a year ago? But came close to playing it. I can't remember what. I think they were in the game. But ultimately, I don't know how those schools are going to be able to hang. I'm not even sure Michigan is going to be able to down the road. And they are one of the great traditional powers in the game. Will is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Will.
I want to talk about Jimbo Fisher, and why is A&M always overhyped with Jimbo Fisher as their head coach? Ed Orgeron won a national championship in his fourth year with LSU, and he was what you want to call a dummy head coach. And Jimbo's in his fifth year, and he hasn't even won the West or has never had a 10-win season, excluding the Corona year. Why is A&M getting overhyped every single year?
Well, this is not about every single year. I'll defend Jimbo here. 2 years ago, they came in fourth in the country. So they earned their way into that conversation. But right now, they are concerning because they've had a recruiting year that is unprecedented. And also because an active SEC head coach pretty much called them out for breaking rules. So that's why they are suddenly in the cauldron, so to speak.
They have been breaking rules. They've been breaking rules since 18. Like, I've known some big-time recruits A&M's gotten that they were never considering A&M until they visited the A&M-Alabama game. Then they somehow decide, I'm going to go to A&M.
Will, you just got through saying something that I have to ask you about. You said everyone knows A&M has been breaking rules. Can you give me a specific on that?
I'm pretty much saying that those big time Aggie dealers.
No, I mean you said stop. You said A&M's been breaking rules, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All I'm asking you is for one specific instance of A&M breaking rules. Which player? And what do you know that A&M did to solicit that player illegally?
They
get 25 every year. You just got through. You made this broad brush statement that A&M is breaking rules. All I'm asking you is to give me one specific. That's all.
The one specific. One of my best friends.
No.
You're
one of your best friends. What?
Who was a college recruit in the 2022 class. He told me flat out A&M offered him $1 million to go play for them. I'm not lying.
Let's try this all over again. I know I asked you a hard question, and you gave me a specific answer. Continue on with what you're saying, and I'll try not to laugh this time.
What I'm pretty much saying is,
let's not get off the subject here. You told me that one of your best friends told you, correct me at any point that I've said something wrong, one of your best friends told you that A&M offered him $1 million to go there. Is that correct?
Correct. And you'll be seeing him September 4th for the Fighting Tigers.
I'll be seeing him September 4th doing what?
Playing a position for LSU.
Okay, so one of your best friends is a football player who was offered $1 million to go to A&M. He turned that down to go to LSU.
Yes.
And what did you're forcing me to ask the obvious question that everyone in the audience is screaming at their radio or television to ask you. And what did LSU offer him?
LSU offered him, this is what he is. He's a hometown boy from Louisiana, grew up an LSU fan. I know they offered him money, but the whole deal is he turned it down. I don't want to spread his name around, but
I'm not asking you for his name. I'm just asking you what enticed him to turn down $1 million. How old are you, Will?
I'm 16. I mean 17.
Okay. Didn't mean to give you a trick question. Do you have any idea what $1 million looks like?
I've seen $1 million, and
well, I haven't. And your friend, who I have not asked for you to identify, turned down $1 million to go to LSU because he's an in-state player?
No, he turned down A&M.
Okay. He went to LSU but turned A&M down. Now, can you be more specific on how this $1 million offer was transmitted to him?
This $1 million offer was transmitted to him from he went to College Station on official visit. Jim, Bob, whatever you want to call him, took him to the side and gave him, flat out said, here's this money if you come play for us. And he said, can I say a cuss word or something?
Sure.
Like,
No. Will, hold on a second. I may have misunderstood something there. You're saying he was your friend was at A&M, and who offered him the money again?
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher offered him $1 million?
Yes, to come play for A&M, and that is how he's gotten all these big time recruits. He pulls.
And did he? Did he indicate to you? Did your friend indicate to you how Jimbo allegedly made this offer?
Dude, put him to the side and said, "Here, it's like a normal conversation, like me and you talking about college baseball, about who's going to Omaha." Pulled him to the side and said, "Hey, here's $1 million. Come play for me."
So he had $1 million in a brown paper bag?
Yes, from the if you want to go deep into it, from the oil field money that A&M seems to be getting a lot of.
So was it in a McDonald's bag or a brown bag or what kind of bag was it in?
Oh no, it was in Burger King.
You know, Will, please accept my apology in advance for saying what I'm about to say. I don't want you to get too upset with me because you're a nice guy. You sound like you mean well. But I have to go on the record as saying I don't believe a word of this.
You don't have to believe a word, but I'm just saying, why has Jimbo not gotten busted? But it seems like LSU back in 2017, whenever Will Wade started throwing out money like a dummy, he gets the NCAA comes to Baton Rouge, but they won't come to College Station to investigate A&M thoroughly.
Will Wade was on an FBI wiretap. That's seemingly what led the NCAA in there. Listen, you call back again. We'll continue this. Unfortunately, we've run short on time. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What an afternoon it has been, and we are only 50 minutes in. Let's go to Dr. Bayless, who is in Wisconsin. Hello, Doc.
Hi. I got a couple questions for you. One, I'm on staff, if you can hear me, for MSU. And the frustrating thing I have is I have been 6 years taking care of many, many pro athletes.
Yes.
Can't afford a chicken game, nor can I afford to go to a Notre Dame game. And is that really college athletics, where I can go to a Badgers game or an MSU game and get a ticket? But is it really fair when we're competing nationally that these schools sell so many tickets to only those that donate $10,000-$15,000 a year? And the second thing I was going to bring up is, when we look at athletes, and I treat a ton of professional collegiate athletes as their physician, that information is personal and is not disclosable. But they're employed. And like when I deal with workers' comp and people, the actual information is disclosable. And so many decisions for college and pros are made based on the degree of injury. I don't know why, since they're employed, that those agencies, whether it's the NFL, NBA, or MBL, is not able to get accurate information to make decisions.
Well, that's a good question you've raised here. So I'm trying to digest all this. So you're saying, I mean, but doesn't somebody have access to that? And ultimately, who makes that call? Is it the employer / university, or is it an insurance call by the provider?
Well, right now, the way the rules are, it's between the insurance and the provider.
Okay.
But these people are all employed.
Like, right.
Like for example, LeBron James hurts his Achilles tendon.
Okay.
He's employed. Why can't we get accurate information about him from his employer? Because they have right to the right to tell us what it is, just like workers' comp. I can't hide anything from workers' comp.
Right.
And these guys are all employed, and I'm being paid by their employer. It's so different than the rest of the world. When I take care of a college athlete or a high school athlete who's not getting reimbursed, that's a totally different situation.
Right.
They're not employed. They're not compensated. But I get so sick of listening to the radio and the media speculating when the answers are there. The team physician knows. And these guys make, when they're injured, decisions on the draft, this, that, and the other are important. They're workers. They're not, you know, college kids or high school kids that aren't getting paid. These are guys getting paid millions of dollars and are hired. I don't understand it. And the other thing I don't understand is I can't buy, as a surgeon, I can't buy a ticket to Michigan or Notre Dame, so I will never root for them. And I'm on staff for MSU, and I'm all go MSU in Wisconsin because I can always get me and my kids into the game. And those places don't play like college football. They play like donor football. And that's, I disdain that because I really like the college scene. And Michigan and Notre Dame are the two worst schools in the nation of keeping people that want to watch them out of the stadium unless you donate. Anyway, that's my big grief.
Well, listen, Doc, I appreciate it. I'd love to continue this. We're up against the top of the hour, but you be well. Thank you for sharing that information. Hard to believe a surgeon wouldn't be able to afford tickets to one of those games, but what do I know? I'm just a lowly talk show host. And we are continuing with more of your phone calls right after this.